In an election that will determine the fate of the entire universe, there's only one podcast holding politicians accountable. Scott Morrison, Anthony Albanese. Who will lose? Find out on The Chaser Report, Election Edition.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report, Election Edition for Friday the 29th of April. Dom Knight here with Chaz Lucidello. Hello, Chaz.
Hello there. I can't believe I'm back in the election. What a ride.
Yeah. I mean, you normally cover American elections, which are actually interesting.
Yeah, well, look, I've only been paying attention for 48 hours, and so far I'd have to say not the most interesting election, but, you know, I'm about to tell you some life lessons I've learned in 48 hours.
48 hours of Chaz watching the election. We'll find out about that soon. It is 22 days until the election, which is horrifyingly long. Mm. We're also going to have a chat to Independent Senator Rex Patrick of South Australia, who's running for re-election, asking for an integrity commission. We've got a little, tricky little quiz to put to him about the cost of living as well. Exciting. Also, Chaz, you know, yesterday John Domenico told us he's been watching Sky News round the clock.
Yes.
You've been watching an even more obscure Sky News channel. I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah, I've been watching the Sky News election channel. And I would recommend it if you're into the election, because that's Sky News, but without Paul Murray and Andrew Bowles. So, yeah. So there are certain advantages to the Sky News. It's basically wall-to-wall press conferences. And they repeat them as well. Just in case the first time you saw, say, Barnaby Joyce wasn't enough, you can see him 3-4 times in a row during the day.
I really want to get the ratings figures to find out if you were literally the only person watching that channel. I suspect you were. Also, Alex is going to join us to talk about a stunt where he tried to take Scott Morrison a very special gift. But before we get into all that, Chaz, just a couple of bits of breaking news from today I want to get to. Really shocking stuff, actually. Today's the day Albo gets out of ISO. Anthony Albanese is back. But also, did you know Labor's deputy leader has tested positive for COVID? So the deputy's in as well.
Oh, do we know if he got it from Albo?
It's a good question. Yeah. But the even bigger question is, did you know who Labor's deputy leader was?
Well, it's Tanya Plibersek, is that right?
No.
No, I got no idea. Just bear that in mind when I tell you the lessons I learned in the last 48 hours. Yeah. I don't know who Labor's deputy leader is.
Tanya got dumped after the last election because she was with Bill Shorten and they lost by a record amount. Uh-huh. Jim Chalmers is the Treasury spokesman for Labor, but he's not the deputy. Oh. The deputy is, let me read this off the screen, a Richard Marles.
Richard Marles. He was on Sky News a few years back. Is he still? I got no idea.
He's been flying right under the radar. So this is the man who'll be the deputy prime minister. He won't be on the campaign trail for 7 days. Frankly, that won't make any difference to Albo's chances on election day.
So are you telling me I shouldn't feel ashamed about the fact I had no idea who he was?
I think you're in very good company there.
That's good.
But also some breaking news from the AEC. A man by the name of Malcolm Heffernan is in trouble. He's being investigated because he's been declared as a candidate for two separate divisions, two separate electorates in two separate states, Banks in New South Wales and Brand in WA.
So it's the same candidate, One Nation?
Yes, One Nation in Banks and the Australian Federation Party in Brand.
So, it's a different party.
Yes, One Nation in New South Wales and the Federation Party, which I've never heard of, in WA.
See, I tell you what his problem is. His problem is that while Western Australia and New South Wales are actually two different states, it's still One Nation. And you'd think he would know that better than anyone.
I see what you did
given
there.
He's a candidate for One Nation, at least in one state.
All right, let's get into all this right after check in with Charles's daily election wrap.
This is the wrap for Friday, the 29th of April. Always the charmer. Scott Morrison has attacked Anthony Albanese for not working hard enough while recovering from COVID.
He's had a pretty quiet week. I remember when I was in ISO, I had a very busy week.
The Liberal Party insiders have downplayed the swipe at Albanese. Turns out Scott Morrison's definition of a very busy week is just any week where he doesn't pop off to Hawaii in the middle of a crisis. With Albanese back on the hustings, it's now Deputy Labor Leader Richard Marles' turn to catch COVID.
Deputy Labor Leader Richard Marles has now confirmed that he has tested positive to COVID.
Watch out for Morrison to start attacking him the coming days too. After all, attacking the sick and vulnerable is a long-standing policy of the coalition government. Just ask anyone on the NDIS. Meanwhile, Morrison has been caught fibbing about electricity prices. He claims prices are down, but the energy regulator says they've spiked sharply in recent months. Labor says its plan to rewire the grid to optimise it for renewables will cut energy bills by hundreds of dollars by the end of the decade. But the Coalition says its plan is better. It's called the Australian Domestic Gas Security Mechanism, and it allows the government to force gas companies to sell fossil fuel gas locally rather than export it. The only problem? Morrison has never, ever, ever triggered the mechanism, even with gas prices at record highs. So, to be clear, he did nothing in the middle of a crisis. What was that about a work ethic? Finally, another Liberal Party MP is in trouble in their seat. Fiona Martin holds the inner-city Sydney seat of Reid by 3.2%. But now a former Liberal Party member is running as an independent and preferencing Labor, putting Martin at risk of losing her seat. Remarkably, and this is absolutely true, the biggest issue in that seat is about a roundabout. Labor says the roundabout outside DFO Shopping Centre in Homebush is one of the worst in the country, and Libs agree. They've promised $100 million to fix it. The only problem? Morrison promised $50 million to fix it 3 years ago and then did absolutely nothing. That's the election wrap for Friday, the 29th of April. We'll be back in a sec.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report.
All right, so Chaz, at the start of the show, you revealed that you honestly thought, I don't think you're making this up,
no,
that Tanya Plibersek was the deputy leader, which admittedly, until 3 years ago, she was.
I've been checked out for about 5 years from Australia. Basically, since we last made an Australian political show for The Chaser, I've paid zero attention to Australian news. Like, apparently Barnaby Joyce had a love child. That's all I know from the last 6 years. And so I just checked in because you asked me to do something. And so I just checked in 48 hours ago just to brush up on what's been going for the last 6 years. And I did that by watching press conferences wall to wall on the Sky News Election Channel. I know nothing that wasn't on a press conference in the Sky News Election Channel from the last 48 hours.
How obscure are these press conferences? I mean, are they mainly from major party figures? Or basically, if you're some random independent and you've got one person turning up to an event, will they still broadcast it on Sky?
Well, I did watch a debate between the three North Sydney candidates.
Oh, wow.
which went for like an hour and a half. So I did watch that. I'm right across North Sydney issues, let me tell you.
That was where I grew up.
Yeah, I know.
Even though I don't know who the candidates are.
I can tell you all about it. But normally it's the major figures. It's like Jim Chalmers and Barnaby Joyce and those kinds. Yeah.
All right. So what did you learn from watching only the Sky Election Channel?
I've learned so much. Okay, first of all, I learned that elections are full of lies. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. For example, I've been promised repeatedly over the last 48 hours by Labor that a triple whammy is here.
What?
I've been told over and over again, every Labor person goes, oh, the Liberals have delivered a triple whammy. This Prime Minister has delivered a triple whammy. Now, I think that they might be referring to inflation and cost of living and wages, but they keep on saying that Scott Morrison delivered a triple whammy. Now, to me, that can only mean one thing. It's very exciting. It means they've brought back Press Your Luck, which was where the triple whammy came from. Beloved 1980s game show, Press Your Luck, is the home of the triple whammy. So if the triple whammy's back, they must have brought Press Your Luck back.
Was that the show where, as the thing was spinning or whatever, it just went, no whammies, no whammies,
yes,
no whammies, no whammies.
Exactly. And then double whammy, triple whammy. And Scott Morrison's brought back. Very exciting news from Labor. Makes me want to vote for Scott Morrison. But wait, Dom, it's lies. It's a tissue of lies. Now, upon my research, I've discovered not only is Press Your Luck not coming back, but beloved 1980s game show host of Press Your Luck, Ian Turpie, is actually dead.
Oh,
so it's never coming back.
You
Labor,
be kidding me.
Full of lies.
Why wouldn't they have called it a trifecta, a word people actually know?
I have no idea. All I know is that's one massive broken promise,
right,
and they're not even in government. So that's the first thing I learned. Second thing I learned, Policy, Dom, is extremely confusing.
Okay.
And let me tell you what I'm talking about. Apparently, we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis.
That's I've what heard I hear. This
over and over again over the last 48 hours. Inflation's rising. And I should say, by the way, we were expecting inflation off the back of the pandemic because prices didn't go up during the pandemic. In fact, they went down a little bit. So you'd expect inflation to make up for those. But regardless, inflation is happening. Cost of living is going up. So what can the government do? Now, according to the Liberals, according to the coalition, they're offering a payout, which of course is going to drive up inflation. But let's say that that's a strange solution to high prices.
Yeah, so if you give everyone money, then they can afford more stuff, so prices go up more.
Exactly. A strange solution. Labor have actually acknowledged that. Jim Chalmers specifically said that this was inflationary right about the time he said he was going to support it, which is very confusing. but that's not all. The Liberals have pointed out that since inflation is so high, this is what Scott Morrison is saying. Since this is a terrible economy right now, now more than ever, we can't afford to risk voting out the people who brought us that terrible economy. We can't risk the uncertainty, Dom. We can't afford the uncertainty of voting in someone who didn't bring us record inflation. So that is very confusing.
So I'm not surprised to hear you say that Labor's position is it's a terrible idea which we fully support. That's what they've been doing for the past 3 years. What I want to know, Chaz, is what are they going to do if they win government?
Yeah.
Where are they going to get their terrible ideas which they fully support from?
That's a great question. That's an excellent question. They should appoint Scott Morrison as their policy advisor. I also learned that Jason Clare, I don't want to get personal here, but Jason Clare, a ginormous hypocrite.
Oh, really?
Massive hypocrite, Jason Clare. He's a pretty good performer, but hypocrite. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. He accused the Liberals, in particular Scott Morrison, of being out of touch.
Right.
Literally, less than 60 seconds later, after he accused them of being out of touch, he said that Scooby-Doo couldn't find Alan Tudge. He's accusing other people of being out of touch. He's using 40-year-old references. Ginormous hypocrite, this man.
Also, I doubt that Scooby-Doo is a very good detective.
Well, yeah, he undoutedly could find Alan Tudge. I've got to look in the phone book.
Under the mask of the skeleton at the theme park.
Maybe should find Richard Marles and then get Richard Marles to tell me who he is. The bottom line, though, what I learned is that none of these people are trustworthy to deliver on what they promise. But it might not be possible to put a dent in the cost of living if you're a politician, even though they pretend they can. Australian wages are also already very high. They talk about how low Australian wages are. When you compare to other countries, then Australian wages are actually quite high. Trust me, I study America. They got low wages. But there is one area I've discovered that we can totally trust our politicians. Like, quite seriously, they are world class in this one area. And that is, they have a proven track record when it comes to weight loss.
Oh, right.
Honestly, I have been out for 6 years. I tune in and I've got, is this the new Marvel superhero I'm looking at? Or is it Anthony Albanese? Anthony Albanese and Scott Morrison, they both look fantastic. They both lost so much weight. And it's not the first time this has happened. Kim Beazley did it. Politicians over and over again somehow managed to lose 20 kilos, bang, when an election's coming. They should be weight gurus. They can't do anything at cost of living, but I would hire both of them to be my personal trainer tomorrow. I would trust them with my weight, no problems. Okay, I probably wouldn't hire Barnaby Joyce to be that. He could be my dating app. But I would hire these guys to be weight loss consultants every day of the week, and that for that they should be proud, and only that.
It's true. It's the one thing Anthony Albanese has really achieved in 3 years is the Albo body sculpt diet. I want to know how he's done it.
That's all he should do. When he comes back today, I want him to shut up about triple whammies. He's going to talk triple whammies, I promise you. I want him to shut up about triple whammies. I just want him to go bit by bit. Tell us what he has for breakfast. Come on, Albo. Do it.
I want to watch him do a triple lift.
Election news you can't trust. The Chaser Report.
Now, Alex is with us to talk about a stunt that he did this week. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how you going?
Now, you've been visiting the Prime Minister.
Yeah, see, I've tried to visit him multiple times and he just keeps ducking me. Like, I don't really understand. But, you know, I'm trying to help him out. I understand that he really likes coal.
He does.
He seems to be a big fan. So I just thought I'd bring him some because, you know, elections are really stressful and, you know, sometimes you just need something to comfort you. You know?
Just to relax him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
A friend from home. Yeah.
Stress relief. He can sort of just give it a little cuddle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how lovely.
But it was actually quite tricky to do because first I was like, oh, great, I can just bring him coal. Like I've got one of my best mates works as a blacksmith. So I'm like, we have all this coal. Like we could do this. And Charles immediately cancelled the idea because apparently it's like poisonous or something. Like you can't, you might get in a bit of trouble spreading coal dust around someone's office.
Right. So when he brought a lump of coal into the parliament and said, don't be afraid, we actually should have been afraid.
Yeah, we should have been very scared.
Okay. So just to be clear, assassinating the prime minister is out?
Yeah, apparently, according to Charles.
Yeah, Charles has really changed.
Yeah, the policy's really changed around it.
But I got charcoal, which is like equally filthy but maybe less toxic. And yeah, put it in a big sack and went down there and it was just like leaking all over the place. It was like black coal dust everywhere. But I was a bit confused because usually when we go in and do this kind of stuff, like there's some amount of at least confusion, if not banter, like the person doesn't know why you're there and they're trying to work out what your purpose is. But she was onto it from the start. Like as soon as I opened the door, she just ran behind the counter, like hid behind this wall and just started shouting out like, leave.
That's the chaser feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations, Alex. So that means your photo has finally been circulated PMO.
What I assumed it was is that I was dressed in high vis because I wanted to look like a coal carrying like a delivery man. I assume that they were like, we've got no photo ops today. So if they're in high vis and they're here, they must be pissed off at us. Like,
yeah, must just be an ordinary worker coming to the PMO. They wouldn't want that.
I don't want anything to do with that guy.
So where is it, in a skyscraper? Like, where did you have to go to do it?
It's on the second floor of a building in Cronulla.
Oh, yeah, you went to the electorate office.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Do we know if Scott Morrison got the charcoal?
Oh, well, let's see.
I need someone to sign for a delivery. It's just coal. Don't be afraid. Okay. Is there any other way to get it to Scott? Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, it's a bit messy, but it's clean. It's clean coal. Okay. If there are any problems, we'll come back and clean it up by 2050.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
That's a huge success.
I did not expect them to take it. We were prepared. We brought a dustpan and broom. We were prepared to like clean the whole thing up. And then we're leaving, we're like, well, I guess they want this here.
So basically what you've established is that the security at Scott Morrison's electorate office is so lax that you can just bring in a bag of anything and leave it. That's the way it works.
That could have been a human head. It could have been anything.
It should have been. Next done.
It could have been, I don't know, a soiled pair of trousers.
The problem you got, though, as far as Scott Morrison actually taking that coal and like himself getting it and cherishing it the way you want him to, is that he's already gotten so much coal from Santa Claus over the years. He's been a real bad boy for a long time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rigging elections since before it was cool. The Chaser Report.
Senator Rex Patrick of South Australia joins us once again. He is up for re-election this time. Hi, Rex.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. How's the campaign going?
Oh, look, it moves in different directions each day. I've been out on the hustings. It's lots and lots of different things that you have to do, getting sort of digital messaging across, getting things in the papers, make sure you're getting out and talking to people, listening to what they're saying, but also doing your regular senator work back at the office as well. So it's a pretty busy time. I'll be glad when the election campaign is over.
What's your argument in favour of putting in an integrity commission, and what would it look like in your model?
Look, I don't think anyone can realistically think that there isn't corruption or misfeasance or malfeasance taking place in the federal public sector. It happens in all of the state sectors, public sectors, so people would be foolish to think that everything is squeaky clean where we sit. The aim of an integrity commission, first and foremost, is deterrence, to stop people even thinking about doing things that might draw the attention of an ICAC. And it's for that reason you've got to have an ICAC that's got a lot of teeth. The ICAC has to be able to carry out its job in such a way that people go, you know what, I don't want to ever come anywhere near the ICAC radar.
Right. Just to keep it clear, the fact that we paid you $10,000 to do this interview, that doesn't need to be disclosed to anyone.
Geez, you guys have—you've really come up in the world with that sort of money. I was very surprised at the offer, actually.
Yeah, look, I don't know if the invoice is actually going to be paid. Let's see. Now, look, there's been a lot of talk about cost of living during the course of this campaign. Anthony Albanese had a bit of a shocker early up to not knowing the unemployment rate. So we've just got a couple of questions here to check how relatable and down-to-earth you really are, despite that being your pitch. Alex, did you want to kick off the cost of living pressures quiz and put the senator on the spot?
Okay, we've got a classic one to start with. How much does a loaf of bread cost?
Oh, well, I'm going to give you a political answer and say it depends. There are so many bread choices nowadays, it's almost impossible to give a conclusive answer. And it also depends on whether you buy it at the local convenience store where it is more expensive, or you go to Woolies or Coles or IGA or Foodland. So, look, it's around about, I'd say the average, the mean price for a loaf of bread would be about $3.
I'm sorry, that's wrong. I just stepped outside outside our office, and a bowl of handmade sourdough costs $16 at the bakery here in the city. So I'm sorry, that's a bit out of touch there.
Yep, I'm afraid that's none from one. What about this? A liter of oat milk, what would that cost?
Well, okay, that's a very unfair question. I'm a South Australian, and we only drink Farmers Union iced coffee. That's all we know about.
That's a pretty good one.
So I know that's about, if you go to Woolies, you can get 2 litres of Farmers Union iced coffee for about, I think it's about $4.20 on a good day.
You haven't answered the question, and I think that's correct because it tastes so crap you'd never buy it.
Yeah.
Well done. That's one from two.
Okay, so how much is a litre of petrol?
A litre of petrol, I do know. Well, it also varies. It's currently just below $2 a litre. But I'm glad you allowed me to make this plug, and that is that I was the politician who came out on my lonesome and called for the halving of fuel excise. Mm. It did get up to $2.20 a litre. When Scott Morrison originally said, "Nah, what a crazy idea, halving the fuel excise." Josh Frydenberg said the same thing. Angus Taylor said the same thing. And then they sort of warmed to the idea as we got closer to the budget. And then when on budget night, Scott Morrison or Josh Frydenberg announced that as his own idea. So we have seen the price up to $2.20, but recently it has dropped by half the fuel excise amount, which is about 22 cents, sitting below $2 now. Yeah, still way too high, still harmful to people in my view. You know, we've just seen the interest rate, inflation rate come in at 5.1%. That is really going to cause problems into the future with interest rates. But it also reflects the fact that we are paying way too much for groceries, for rental, and also for fuel.
Yeah, I mean, you're correct on the price of petrol, and I'm very grateful that you helped lower the excise and you still think it's too expensive, which actually leads me to my next question. Can I borrow some money? Because my tank is almost empty. It would really help the community, well, me personally.
Well, look, I'm sorry. You're not a South Australian, and I represent and help South Australians, so I'm just going to have to say no to that.
I'd come down, but I don't have the money to drive there.
How much is a litre of water?
If you just turn on the tap, let it flow, it's very, very cheap. I've never divided that number through, but it's a minimum cost. But in actual fact, you can find water sometimes more expensive than milk.
Not quite, Senator. The correct answer is that Angus Taylor got $80 million for water that allegedly didn't exist. So the price per litre of that water was essentially infinite.
Yeah.
Although some bottled water is close to that price.
What about a litre of caviar? Do you know how much that costs?
No, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't eat caviar very often. Oh. So look, I failed that one.
Well, I mean, you're half right because they're not sold per litre; they're sold per gram. That was actually a question sent in by an M. Turnbull, I think. That was a great question.
All right. Yeah. What is the cost of a plane ticket to Hawaii?
Yeah, I could have told you that a few years ago. I used to travel quite a lot overseas. Depends on whether there's bushfires on or not. Depends. Yeah, that can affect the price. Maybe if you catch a RAF jet to go there, even cheaper.
Not quite. It's about $1,500 return, plus it looks like it's going to cost a prime ministership.
Yes, it will. Could well do that.
All right, Senator. Well, look, you failed the questions, but I think given the questions, that actually counts as a win. So well done. And thank you for joining us on the Chaser Report.
And thanks for not telling us to Google it.
Always a pleasure, yeah. No, I'm now going to go and have to Google a few more things in case I get asked as I wander down the street.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The only podcast without UAP ads, The Chaser Report.
Now, Dom, I told you over the last 48 hours I've heard nothing but triple whammies and cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
I can't do much about triple whammies. As I said, Ian Turpie, unfortunately, is dead. But what I can tell you about is the cost of living crisis, because these guys, they're talking about payouts as a solution. It's not a solution. It's going to increase prices, like we already said. But I thought to myself, it's easy to throw sticks and stones at politicians. Mm. Why don't you come up with solutions yourself? So I've put my noggin down, and I have come up with some absolute roll gold solutions for the cost of living crisis. Don't let me PM, but implement these, and it will save us all, if you will.
I'm glad someone is fighting the curse of inflation, Chazzy.
I certainly am. Okay, first of all, simple tip number one. Average spend on food, I looked up, this got researcher segment, $91 a week is what we spend on food. That's too much, Dom, too much. Getting two items per meal from the McDonald's dollar menu is $42 a week. Cost of living halved, Dom,
well done.
Halved. And I get, notice how generous I was, two items per meal. Not just one, two items.
Did you factor in the cost of the cardiologist?
I did not. That's a fair call. Okay, second thing you can do, very, very, very simple step, ban avocado. I have been assured by boomers for the last 10 years that avocado is the sole reason millennials can't afford houses, because they spend too much on smashed avocado, etc. I did the maths again. Simple maths. About 25% of Australia are millennials. That's about 6 million. About $400,000 a house on average. That means if they stopped having avocado, it would save us approximately $2.4 trillion. That's money in the bank for all Australians, Dom.
Do it for your country.
Simple. Next one, transport, a key area of price rises. In fact, it could be the number one area with petrol. Oh,
petrol,
price.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is the easiest one in the world. I can't believe that. In fact, Albo is already going some way towards doing this. Bring COVID back. Transport costs slashed off.
That's true. Petrol has never been cheaper than it was during the lockdown.
Totally.
It was fantastic.
And so Albo and the deputy leader, whatever his name is, I've already forgotten it. They are showing us the way forward to cost of living drops right there. Next one. We all know about how our parents and grandparents bought $50,000 houses they back did. In the 1980s.
Mm.
1980s, you could buy everything for way less. That's the problem. Everything costs so much more now, right? Simple. Bring back $1,984. They bought so much more than the current dollars, right? You might go, well, where are we going to get them from? If you make a dollar now, Chaz, that's a $2022. So where's the $1,984 coming from, Chaz? Simple. Anyone who's over the age of 40 has stashed dollar notes and $2 notes from the 1980s. right? Think about how many of them must be out there in the community, just stashed away in drawers.
Can you imagine all the little Dolomites savings tins that would be full of dollar coins?
No one ever used that money. It'd just be sitting around. One of those $1 notes, let me tell you, I've got dollar notes at home. That's worth 20 Redskins. Just bang, straight away. No problems.
And that's your food for a week too.
Exactly. You don't need to go to the dollar menu from McDonald's. Once again, think about this. If you've stashed away 25,000 $2 notes, you could buy a house.
Wow.
It's that easy. It's that easy, Dom. Getting to the big picture, though. These are small ball suggestions.
Can I just make one point, though?
Yes.
They're not called Redskins anymore. They're called Red Rippers because in the 80s, people didn't mind that term was racist.
Well, you see, not only have I missed out on everything that's happened in politics for the last 6 years, but I've also missed out what's happened in racist-sounding confectionery. Sorry, I missed that. But yeah, regardless, the point is, I'm not sure if you can buy a Red Ripper for $5.94, maybe because they didn't exist then. There's some kind of space-time continuum thing happening there. I'll have to ask the guy, the doctor from Back to the Future. But as far as solving the cost of living crisis goes, I'm going the big picture now. Final tip, Dom, and this one is absolute surefire winner. If we turn Australia into the world's biggest sewer, okay, just effluent and human waste flowing freely all over the place.
Right.
We just become, and it makes everyone depressed and miserable. We all become horrible and sick and we're all screwed up and we all just turn on each other.
Mm.
Elon Musk will want to buy us for tens of billions of dollars, and then that's money for all of us.
Oh, so we turn Australia into Twitter.
Yes, exactly. The real life manifestation of Twitter.
Brilliant
Elon
idea.
Elon Musk will not be able to resist and we'll be saved.
Chaz, your nation thanks you.
No problems.
For your great work. That's it for today. We'll catch you on Monday. We are part of the Acast Creator Network and our gear is from Rode Microphones.